Okay, good. So this is an emotional diffusion exercise called STOP, S-T-T-O-P. So what I'd like you to do is make yourself comfortable. Find a comfy position for your legs, your feet, your arms, your head. And allow your eyes to close if that's comfortable for you. And just take a few moments to focus on your breath. Breathing in nice and slow and easy into 7. And then very slowly all the way out to 11. Keep breathing nice and slow and easy into 7. And then slowly out to 11. Noticing more and more as you breathe in, the air moving in either through your mouth or your nose. Feeling the fullness of the air in your lungs. And the wonderful sense of relief you feel as you let that breath all the way out. Letting your whole body relax more and more with every exhalation. Your shoulders drop down. Your tummy relaxes. You can loosen your jaw. Your whole body with every exhalation just relaxes more and more. And in your way, in your pace, breathing slowly into 7. Really enjoying the sense of fullness, the movement of the air. And then relaxing as you let that breath out. Letting your eyes relax, all the muscles around your eyes. The muscles at the corners of your eyes relaxing more and more. Letting your jaw relax. The muscles around the ears relax. And your whole body just sinking down more and more comfortably into your chair. Long, slow, deep breath in. And then exhaling nice and long and slow. Just letting the muscles in your forehead relax, smoothing out. Imagining the muscles at the corners of the eyes turn up ever so slightly in a little smile. And the muscles at the corners of the mouth relaxing and turning up ever so slightly in a smile. Exhaling out, letting your hands, forearm, upper arms relax. And with the next exhalation, really allowing the muscles in your tummy to relax. Sink down comfortably into your chair. Your legs relaxing, your feet. And with every exhalation, your whole body relaxes more and more. And when we focus on our breath, relaxing our body with every exhalation, it just enables us to come into the moment we're in. Leaving the activities of earlier today behind you. And leaving the activities upcoming just ahead, not in the forefront of your mind, but yet staying in the moment you're in, being in this moment as best you can. The mind is always busy, but we can, whenever our attention drifts to the activities before anything else or to what's upcoming, we can just come back to the breath, come back to the sensation of the inhalation, the movement of the air in, filling our lungs, and the wonderful sensation of release you feel with every exhalation. Good. Taking a few more moments as I'm quiet to just breathe and come into this moment. And as you continue to breathe, focus on the wonderful sense of release you feel, I'm just going to take a few moments to describe the steps in the exercise. So as mentioned at the beginning, this is a thought and emotion diffusion exercise. Diffusion simply means separating. Separating from our thoughts, separating from our emotions, so that we can step back and observe what's happening in our internal world. That's simply what diffusion is. Too often we have a thought and we're swept up by it and we go with it. Too often emotional experiences are the same. So diffusion is simply about stepping back and observing thoughts, emotions, even behaviors, somatic experience. So the exercise is known by the acronym STOP, S-T-T-O-P. There's an extra T. So S-T-T-O-P. And the S in STOP simply means whenever anything's occurring, when you feel overwhelmed, frustrated, frantic, angry, embarrassed, sad, whatever it may be, that we stop and look at what's going on. So stopping is the most important thing we can do at any time with any emotion, be it anger, frustration, overwhelm, interjecting that moment of pause to step back and observe our thoughts, observe our feelings, gives us the opportunity for choice. So much of the time we spend in automatic pilot doing the things that are habitual, that are automated, that are familiar, that are habits. That's the essence of a habit. Well, when we get into the practice of stepping back, observing thoughts, observing emotions, we interject choice in how we respond. Even if it's a simple thought like, I should do this, I have to do this, I must do that. When we stop in that moment and step back and observe that thought, observe the associated feelings, impulses, beliefs, drives, wants, we interject choice. So S stands for stop. It gives us the ability to respond, to think, to feel differently. So S is for stop. And the first T is to take long, slow, deep breaths, as many as you need, to be able to get that separation, to get that diffusion from the thoughts and the feelings. So we take as many long, slow, deep breaths as is needed to observe, to do all the rest of the steps, to come into the moment, to identify the thoughts, the feelings, where we're experiencing them. Taking as many long, slow, deep breaths as is needed. And the second T is to take notice. So the first T is to take breaths, and the second T is to take notice. And we're taking notice of many things, taking notice of what actually we're thinking. Not just what we're thinking, but what we're believing underneath those thoughts. What are the beliefs we're having as well as the thoughts? So take notice of the thoughts and the beliefs. Take notice of what you're feeling and put a label to it. There could be many emotions, but take notice of those emotions and which ones are the strongest or one. Take notice of that emotion and where you feel it in your body. Is it in your shoulders, in your jaw, in your head, your chest, your tummy? Take notice too, not only of where you feel it, but what it is you're feeling. A pressure, a heaviness, a tightness, a clamping, a stirring, whatever it might be. So take notice of the emotion, label it. Take notice of where you feel it in your body and what it is. Take notice too of what you're wanting. Take notice of what you're doing or not doing, associated with that thought, associated with that feeling, with that belief. What are you doing or not doing? Do you have awareness of that? Take notice of what you're needing in that moment and wanting. So the first T is to take long, slow, deep breaths. And the second T is to take notice. The O in stop is to observe what happens as you just breathe and step back. Observe those thoughts, beliefs, needs, wants. Observe those emotions, how much space they need to take up. Observe where you feel it in your body and how deep it is. Observe the intensity, the veracity. Observe what you're wanting, needing. Observe what you're doing. So observe as you step back and just notice those things, noticing the whole experience without reacting, changing, legitimizing, dismissing, validating, without any cognitive activity whatsoever to change the experience. You're just observing it as it is, not as you want it to be. Notice too, observe too, any resistance to feeling, thinking, believing, wanting, needing, doing. Observe the resistance. And just breathe through as you're observing. And the P in stop is twofold. P is to plan to respond in a way, now and in the future, a way that would be in complete opposite to what you would have done before. So if instead before you would have plowed through, ignored, minimized, dismissed an emotion, planned to notice the emotion, address the emotion, sit with the emotion, have compassion for the emotion. If you would have in the past just made yourself busy with these thoughts, these beliefs, these worries, if in the past you would have ruminated more, plan to respond in a way that's completely opposite. Perhaps distracting, letting go, deciding not to think about it, listening to music, chanting prayer, whatever is your belief system, but plan to respond in a way that's exact opposite to what you would have done in the past. The other part of P is to plan to respond to these experiences, thoughts, beliefs, needs, feelings, somatic experiences, behaviors, with kindness, compassion. Bring some compassion to your experience, some allowance, some understanding, some tolerance, some acceptance as it is now. Yes, it may not be as you want it to be in the future, but as it is now, bring compassion to your experience for feeling this feeling, for having this thought, belief, wants, needs, for the behaviors. Bring compassion and kindness, acceptance and tolerance to whatever it is you're experiencing. So that's the stop exercise explained. So just to briefly, before we go into an example of that exercise and use it, I just want to briefly, and this is part of the exercise, as you continue to breathe, relax, bring yourself into this moment. The reason why this exercise is so important, not only for experiencing our emotions, awareness of our emotions, understanding, acceptance, thoughts, beliefs, needs, behaviors. If we can accept our emotions, thoughts, and all those experiences as they are, we can learn to accept the universe as a matter as it is, not as we want it to be, not as fighting or resisting what is. And yes, we may work to change the things we don't like, but a part of change is also acceptance as it is, acknowledgement that of the state it's in. But in our lives, we spend much of our time rushing around, on the way somewhere, doing something, being something, acting in a certain way, with a certain kind of certainty, like we always know what we're doing, where we're going. And this kind of certainty closes us off to comprehending the mystery of things around us. So rather than living in open acceptance to this changing, living and dying world, we clamp down in a rigged sort of way to control it, to force it with our mind, with our behaviors. We hold on to what is pleasant and push away what is unpleasant. And in that process, we don't experience what is here. We're so busy managing life, we cover up the great mystery we are involved in. There are many different ways we control. We control through tightening our bodies, tensing against the existence, when we don't like something. We create an illusion of control in our mind, constant thinking and busyness. And if we stay busy, we create there an illusion that we're taking care of things. We worry and obsess and grasp onto things. We hold on to our possessions, as it gives us a false sense of grounding, even though we can't take it with us. When we do have to control some things, we have to make a living, have a shelter, have schools for our children, take care of ourselves when we get sick, protect ourselves from threatening people, and so on. This is a necessary amount of control. But it's the over-control that gets us into trouble. It's not about managing the things we need to and can. It's about over-controlling that gets us into trouble. Suffering comes when our control strategies are on all the time. And we forget who we are. We forget the joy all around us in the moment. We get identified as humans as doing and not being. We get identified with being the controller, always preparing for the next thing, having an agenda, not living life as it is. You may notice at times this over-controller prevents you from really feeling and experiencing people around you. When you're interacting with them, it's hard to focus. It's hard to be in the moment. You're moving on to the next thing you have to do. There's an intolerance or impatience dealing with others when we're focused on our agenda, when our minds are busy moving on to the next thing. Another way we know we're caught in the over-controller is if we're exhausted. There's no breathing room. There's no space. There's no ability or permission to relax. And this exhaustion can spiral into a myriad of other illnesses, gastrointestinal illnesses, difficulties with anger and patience, heart problems, skin problems, and so on and so forth. So the over-controller doesn't get nourished by being. It is addicted to doing. So if you recall or know the myth of Sisyphus, Sisyphus pushed the boulder up the hill, watching it roll down, doomed to do it over and over and over again. And even though our inner world tells us we need to do it, we have to do this, this needs to get done, the over-controller is way overdoing it. It's pushing boulders it doesn't need to push. Pushing them reflexively, automatically, incessantly. So one of the sufferings of the over-controller is exhaustion. Just always being on. Cut off from creativity. Cut off from joy. Creativity often takes a nosedive when the over-controller takes over. In moments of creativity, there's freedom. There's mindfulness, being in the moment. There isn't a sense of urgency. And in these moments, creative things can come to us. So exhaustion and non-creativity are two byproducts of the over-controller. We're also cut off from other people, as I mentioned, by our agenda. Difficulty relaxing is another byproduct of the over-controller. Another byproduct is judging self and judging others. We spend time trying to manipulate others' impression of us, pushing boulders. The over-controller isn't connected to the present moment. It's filled with worries and plans. judgment, judgment of self, feeling consistently inadequate or unfulfilled, insufficient. Also judgment of others, feeling much the same. The over-controller is driven by fear. It's afraid of things going wrong. It needs to protect. It's driven by grasping because of the fear of losing. It's cut off from empathy. The over-controller creates great walls. So in order to first recognize the over-controller in action, it's important to stop. S-T-T-O-P. To intentionally recognize when it's in action. To intentionally recognize the feelings associated with the over-controller. Where they feel it, the beliefs, the wants, the needs, and the somatic experience. So the first step is noticing when the over-controller is taking charge. So the trick is to relate to the over-controller and not relate from the over-controller. So looking at the over-controller versus through the eyes of the over-controller. So relating to versus from the over-controller. Relate to it in a larger space, using the stop to observe it, to step back, understand it with compassion and presence. Controlling is conditioned. It's part of the human experience. We like to understand. We like to make associations. That's the essence of learning. Controlling is part of our ego. It's part of the human condition. But it's also important to learn to do the opposite. To let go. To step back. To observe. To interject choice around controlling, to interject some permissiveness, some flexibility, when to do it, how much to do it, to what extent, in what circumstances. But first we have to recognize it in ourselves. Often the over-controller, as mentioned, is exhausted, stressed, judgmental, cut off from the moment they're in, intolerant. There's lots of shoulds in the mind of the over-controller. There's a certainty and a belief they're right, and things should be a certain way. And generally a strong need for others to agree. And even though this is part of the human experience, and controlling is part of our conditioning, we can step back and interject choice by recognizing when it's happening, to the degree how it's helpful or obstructive, and what we want to do differently. Recognizing inner signs of stress, controlling, recognizing outer signs. Having tight routines, resistance to change, wanting things to be a certain way, wanting life to be a certain way, and wanting that to be our reality. And as said before, yes, we need to control, but it's the over-controlling that gets us into trouble. So yes, it's a universal aspiration. It's part of the human condition, the human ego, but again, one we can learn to interject choice. So now what I want you to do with those messages in mind, bring to mind a recent situation that was distressing for you. Either caused anger, frustration, overwhelm, sadness, embarrassment. And bring that event to mind as best you can. So I'll be quiet for a few moments while you bring that event to mind. Try to remember as much of the details as you can, where you were, what you were doing, what triggered you, what went on before, what you're believing, wanting, what you were feeling, doing. All of the details that you can recall. Good. Now, the most important thing is mentioned whenever we feel an emotional shift of some sort, tension rising, anger, frustration, is to stop. Is to stop and to take notice of what's happening. But stopping rather than proceeding with our automatic way of responding, believing, thinking, doing, is to stop. People often think they have to stop in the ideal situations, in the privacy of their office or bedroom. But we can do this exercise in our mind in a situation as it's happening. We can stop right when we notice some emotional shift. We don't have to lie down or take ourselves away. We can go through the steps of the experience of the exercise as it's happening. But stopping is the single most important thing that we can do. It's not what we most of us do, but it is important. And as mentioned, the second step is to take as many long, slow, deep breaths into 7, out to 11. And by breathing nice and deep and slow, you're simply trying to disengage the emotional reaction, the limbic system hijack, the amygdala from taking charge. You're simply trying to relax the stress response system and all the hormones and neurochemicals that get released when we feel emotion. Breathing is simply a way of calming the mind and the body when we've been hijacked by some emotion, anger, frustration, shame, embarrassment, whatever it might be. Breathing nice and deep and slow into 7 and out to 11. And this may simply take a few minutes. It may take a half hour to disengage, to calm the emotional reaction. But doing it as much as you need to, persisting as long as is needed, till you can feel your emotions dropping back down into that 4 to 6 range, or that 1 to 4 range would be preferable, but dropping down below the hijacked range, which is 7 above. So preferably getting it down 5 or 6, and then further, a 4 and a 3. When we're down, when our emotions are calmed, whatever it is, wherever we are, our frontal lobe, the problem-solving, executive, reasoning parts of the brain start to come on board. We interject choice in this moment. So breathing as many long, slow, deep breaths as you need, into 7 and out to 11. And the second T, as mentioned, so with this event you've brought to mind, try to take notice of what was going through your mind at that time. What were the many thoughts you were having? Try to isolate the specific words that were going through your head. Times you may feel like you're guessing, but usually guesses are pretty close. Then ask yourself, what were you believing about you, about the other person, if there was another person involved, about life, about the future, about the past? What were you believing in that moment? And what were you wanting or needing in that moment? Take notice of what you were feeling. There may have been a number of emotions. Identify them, and then identify the strongest emotion. Does this emotion make sense with what you were thinking, believing, wanting, or needing? And it's okay if it doesn't. Where were you feeling that emotion in your body? Take notice of the somatic experience. Where did you feel that emotion in your body? The stomach, the chest, the shoulders, the jaw, the head, the arms, the hands, full body. What and where were you feeling in the body? What were you feeling and where were you feeling it? Take notice too, as you observe this experience now, what were you doing or not doing or wanting to do? So the T is to take notice of your thoughts. All the thoughts you're having, the strongest thought, take notice of the beliefs, the wants, the needs. Take notice of what you're feeling in the strongest emotion. Take notice of where you're feeling it in your body, what and where. Take notice of what you're doing or wanting to do. And as you observe this entirety of an experience, stepping back and looking at it, the O in stop is to take long, slow, deep breaths and just observe. Observe the thoughts without judgment. Observe the feelings, the somatic experience, the behaviors, the wants, the needs, the beliefs. Observe them. Observe them in their entirety. Observe. As you continue to breathe in deep, into 7, out to 11. And you can feel yourself stepping back, floating back, distancing yourself to get a better perspective, viewpoint, observation. Observe without shame, judgment, just observe the human experience. Take as much time as you need to observe with acceptance as it is, regardless if it's how you want it to be. Acceptance of this is your experience in that moment, as it is, not as you want it to be. Observe any resistance to observing, to feeling, to thinking. Observe the common humanity of the experience. And then the P is to plan to respond in a way that would be opposite as you might have in the past. So plan to respond in the future to these sorts of thoughts, beliefs, needs, wants, emotional experience, in a way that would be opposite to what you've responded in the past. So just bring to mind two specific ways you would respond to this sort of experience in a way that would be in complete contrast to the way you've responded in the past. So just whatever comes to mind, it doesn't have to be perfect or ideal. You can start there and it'll evolve as you practice this. So just plan to respond in two ways, specific ways that would be opposite to what you would have done in the past. And then plan to respond as well in a way that would show yourself compassion and kindness, tolerance and acceptance for the experience as it is, not as you want it to be. So how could you show yourself compassion, kindness, tolerance and acceptance if this were to occur or similar were to occur again? So we'll bring this exercise to a close. So wherever you are, whenever you have some emotional shift, and for some early on, it might be just noticed as a rising tension or frustration or anger. And if those are the response, just dig in underneath the anger, the frustration. Dig in underneath those emotions. And what emotion is occurring underneath? Is it fear? Is it embarrassment? Is it a feeling of disrespect? What is the emotion underneath the anger, underneath the frustration? Is there judgment? Is there shame? Try to isolate the emotion. And it's not that anger is not an appropriate emotion in times of threat, intellectual, personal, physical threat. It's often, though, more often than not, a secondary emotion, and there's a more primary emotion underneath that we're less reticent to face, more uncomfortable facing, feeling shame, connecting with that, feeling embarrassment, feeling insecurity, might be under anger. Anger is more activating, it's more comfortable, it's more familiar. It can be quite helpful at times, but at other times it gets in our way. So just dig in underneath anger, frustration, intolerance. Get at the underlying emotion that might be there. So you can use this exercise following the recording or by the page that I'll email to you. Whatever way makes most sense, is most helpful, most effective for you. So when you're ready, you can open your eyes and return to the room around you.